Welcome back to Red Flags Rising. My name is Mike Hunicky. I am the co-chair of Hugh Severin Reed's Sanctions, Export Controls, and AML Practice. With me is my good friend Brent Carlson, the director of the Berkeley Research Group. Brent, how are you doing today?
Hey, Mike. Great. Glad to be here and talk with you today.
Today is July 24th, 2025, just before 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern. Brent, yesterday was a huge day in terms of American AI policy. We talked back in episode 20 about a moment of truth arriving related to China, related to AI, and related to export controls. Well, in a sense, that moment arrived with the announcement from the White House of the president's plan for winning the race, America's AI Action Plan. This is really in response to an executive order the president signed way back on January 23rd, 2025, instructing the government, particularly commerce and the intelligence community, to come up with a plan.
America's AI Action Plan just got a lot of stuff in it. This is creating a great amount of buzz. The tech community, the business community are all really excited about this. This is a big plus for American business. These are new opportunities opening up, not only within the United States for the data center build out, but also to export American AI tech stacks to allies and partners around the world. This is a great opportunity. There's a lot to unpack. Why don't we jump right in and talk about the three pillars? These three pillars are policy recommendations and action steps. Pillar one is accelerate AI innovation. Pillar two is to build out the American AI infrastructure. Pillar three is to lead in international AI diplomacy and security. We just published an article in BRG's ThinkSet magazine where we talked about where the AI policy is likely to go. The policy of the administration is going to be helpful for businesses to sell their technology and products abroad in an appropriate way. That's what we discussed in that ThinkSet article that just came out last week. What we're seeing here in the AI action plan, this even goes beyond that. These are actively coming up with new and creative ideas, innovative ideas to allow America not only to stay ahead, but to win the AI race. What does it mean to win the race? Look, the finish line may be moving ahead and nothing stays static. But if you just fold and you don't compete, you're going to lose. So you know that's going to happen. So you got to be in the game and you got to stay ahead of the game. The AI action plan really lays out a clear way to do that.
In the past, obviously, there's been a huge amount of focus on particular chips used for particular purposes. Now they're talking about going much broader than that. They're talking about the opportunity to sell as a unit, basically, an entire tech stack. But what does that mean from a compliance perspective? Well, we previewed, Brent, recently on the podcast, the idea of stack sweeps, meaning that where these things are going towards the catch-all provisions, where the government is less and less focused on particular technological thresholds and more focused on really core catch-all provision concerns like WMDs, that they're going to look at the whole stack as a unit. The term they used in particular is full stack AI export packages. There's a commercial side to that. They want to sell as a unit an American tech stack top to bottom. What that means in practice, in our view, for export controls is that it's further going to put the weight on these end use and end user catch-all provisions to everything in the stack.
Absolutely. As we see the American AI tech stack get exported around the world, everybody's going to have to up their game in terms of the export control compliance. The issue is, again, not necessarily that technical threshold, but on end user, end use, and where this is going, and preventing diversion. That's where it's going to come down to. Look, the president, the Commerce Department, they want U.S. companies to be able to sell that tech stack to U.S. allies and partners around the world. Nobody wants it being diverted to our nation's adversaries. What does that mean? That's going to be really looking at and upping the game for the compliance program procedures to prevent that diversion. This is kind of an exciting time for the U.S. companies selling to these customers globally. They're going to have to help those customers make sure that they're in compliance with the U.S. Export Administration regulations. And then companies abroad are going to have to pick up the ball themselves and demonstrate that they're following it as well. This is not just a program where you're checking the boxes. We're looking at preventing diversion of potentially very dangerous dual-use stuff. So that's going to come down to companies having a high probability protocol that we talked about on our recent episode on facing a moment of truth. That's going to have to be implemented throughout the compliance program where it focuses on those diversion risks and focusing on end use and end user. This is where the juice is going to be in terms of export controls, compliance, and enforcement going forward. You've got opportunities, but you've got some work to do around that to make this successful for everyone.
Yesterday, for example, Howard Lutnick talked about drawing that line and was very honest that there's still discussion within the administration about exactly where is that line and how does that line move over time as certain technologies become less sensitive and less mission critical from a national security perspective than others. But in here, we have some ideas and concepts that we've talked about before on the pod, but also in a recent article with BRG's ThinkSet magazine.
In our ThinkSet magazine article that just came out, we could see where the policy was shifting between the Biden administration to the Trump administration, where the Trump administration is going to help U.S. companies promote its AI tech stack abroad. First was the shelving of the AI diffusion rule that came out at the end of the Biden administration. At the same time, you had new red flag guidance and policy documents coming out on May 13th to emphasize that, yes, the administration wants to help U.S. companies promote that AI tech stack around the world, but also we need to focus on diversion risk as well. We want this tech stack going to the right place, to the right people, to do the right things. We don't want it going to our nation's adversaries. That part we previewed in that ThinkSet article, that's a good starting point. The AI action plan that just came out takes that promotion of American leadership in AI to a whole new level. That's part that's really exciting. But again, in it, Pillar 3 talks about how important export controls are in terms of making sure that they stay out of the hands of our nation's adversaries. One of the things that was interesting in Secretary Lutnick's comments at the event that the new action plan was announced, he was talking about China. And he was talking about where you draw the line. There's some things that are very obvious. And I thought it was kind of interesting where he goes, okay, where do we draw that line? What's below the line? Okay, soybeans and baby clothes. Okay, I think there's not much you know, controversy over there. What's above the line? And he was saying, you've got advanced AI chips and hypersonic missiles. He says, look, the United States, we don't want to sell the most advanced AI chips that are out there. And China's not going to want to sell us a hypersonic missile. So there you go. That brings us to the recent announcement that we talked about on that episode 20, allowing certain AI chips to China. But again, and we talked about on that episode, there are nuances. Now companies need to apply for licenses. That's part of this whole package. That's part of this whole public-private partnership between tech companies and government in terms of how we can all win-win, but we all have to kind of move together on this to make it a success.
If you look at the title of Pillar 3, the title is Lead in International AI Diplomacy and Security. What's happening in the back of all of this are a number of bilateral trade negotiations going on between the U.S. and various people. Some of those include elements relevant to the export of controlled technologies. For example, the recent announcement of a deal with Indonesia included a commitment by Indonesia to reduce transshipment and evasion of U.S. tariffs. For the deals that the president is negotiating on tariff rates, on access to markets, and on access to tech, and our ability to sell tech or our willingness to sell the highest technology to people, for the president to get the full benefit of the bargain he's negotiating, there will have to be controls around this. Many of the countries with whom deals are being negotiated now are in close proximity to and aren't still trading partners with the People's Republic of China, for example. It would be an easy sidestep if there weren't extra controls put into place to make sure that the president's getting the benefit of the bargain that he's striking here. Putting aside particular security concerns, which are evident from this document that was co-authored with the intelligence community, just from a deal perspective, the government is going to have incentives to police compliance with the deals that have been struck.
Look, nobody wants to be made a sucker. You don't want to be selling stuff around the world and you found out, oh, okay, it went to the PRC and some entity that has connections with the People's Liberation Army. Look, nobody wants that. What's interesting here is that we don't need to go down that route. We have things now that companies can sell into China, and that will always evolve. This is a great opportunity here. In the action plan, we talk about America working with its allies in international alignment on export controls. Quite honestly, in recent years, that's been a whole lot of nothing burger. I mean, there's been a lot of talk, but it's been hard to align on those. Now, in the action plan, it states America should use tools such as secondary tariffs to achieve greater international alignment. We just did a pod on secondary tariffs, and that's an ultimate tool. This is a plan from the president to go out and work with allies and to get them to play ball. Say, look, we're not saying not do any business with the PRC. We're saying you got to do the right business and just make sure that we're not handing stuff over that shouldn't be handed over. By the way, we've got this ultimate leverage here with secondary tariffs if you're not going to play ball. The record is showing that countries around the world do want to play ball with the United States. They do want to be part of that leading AI technology stack. It's really a no-brainer in a certain sense from a business and art of the deal strategy.
Brent, you mentioned mentioned the secondary tariffs piece, again, which you correctly point out we go through in episode 21 and also on the FCPA Compliance Report pod with Tom Fox. In the action plan, there's a emphasis on plugging loopholes. In this particular context, they're talking about loopholes really from the perspective of the tech stack. They say that the Commerce Department will lead efforts to develop new export controls on semiconductor manufacturing subsystems. That while major systems are subject to controls, export controls right now don't control many of the component subsystems.
We've talked before too, a lot of times what are perceived loopholes are not loopholes. They could be even liability pitfalls. Let's say you're down in that stack for semiconductor manufacturing equipment. You know, there hasn't been a control on my particular products or technology. Again, dude, the focus is on end use and end user. If you're going into the PRC, you got to be really careful on your due diligence. This is not just a check the box exercise anymore. You got to be very careful. Now, it doesn't mean you can't do it, but the United States government wants to have visibility into this stuff. There always will be a negotiation in terms of where exactly that line is going to be. But if any company is not being forthright in their information that they're providing to the United States government from a negotiating perspective, that puts you on your back foot. You're not being a good faith dealer in this negotiation and in this partnership. So think about it that way and get ahead of that. Look, what was in the past was the past, but you got to deal with it. If you're going to have issues that are going to come up now, when we've got more visibility coming into the entire export controls world, especially... Let's not forget what just passed in the Senate on Tuesday, the Maintaining American Superiority by Improving Export Control Transparency Act, which won up Senate approval Tuesday night by unanimous consent. Where else are we having in the Senate a unanimous consent on stuff? I mean, come on. The measure passed also in the House back in May. This is going forward. This new bill requires BIS to provide an annual report to Congress on export control licensing, including, for every license application, information about the applicant and recipient, a description of the item, the value of the sale, and BIS's decision whether to approve the license. It also requires a report on all export control enforcement activities conducted in the past year. Look, there's more scrutiny that's coming down on this whole area of U.S. export controls. The game has changed and it's time to shift along with it.
One, think about that act, Brent, and assuming that it does get signed by the president into law when it goes to his desk. It's important to think about the impact of that transparency law on companies. Yes, at the first level, it's a focus on BIS. And it's going to require time and effort by BIS to issue these reports. So in the back of BIS's mind, they're going to know there's a risk that Congress might pick some of the data and point out some things and criticize BIS. Now, it's politics, so there's a risk they could do that. Even if BIS tries to explain it and has a very good explanation. But in that context, what's going to happen in real life, and practically speaking, is BIS, when it gets license applications, when it gets disclosures from exporters or people who have information about exports, it's going to be looking at that data with this other purpose in mind. Okay, I'm going to have to report to Congress on this. What further questions might I ask now when I have this company, this exporter sitting in front of me, so that I'll have the information I want to have when I go to Congress? It's going to change the dynamic of the relationship between BIS and the companies providing it, those applications and that information in advance. Think about what we've talked about, Brent, in terms of trying to efficiently view risks in a way that you can sleep at night. It's looking at that low-hanging fruit that often is overlooked if you look at export by export by export. But when you step back and you look dynamically and holistically at your trade flows over time, there's going to be stuff that jumps off the page, maybe, hopefully not, but maybe, that would at least be things that you should focus on because anyone else who mines the data like that could also see those same things. Think about what the congressional staff is going to be doing, especially, for example, the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party. They're already neck deep in these issues. They're going to be eager to have access to that data to mine it for their own purposes, for their own legislative efforts. So companies should be expecting a bit more inquiries from BIS when they apply for licenses and when they voluntarily disclose things to BIS.
And again, the focus here is going to be on the end user and end use, and also how are red flags being identified and addressed? How are you looking at this from an awareness of high probability perspective? Applying the full definition of knowledge under the EAR. There's been a misunderstanding for a very long time where knowledge is actual knowledge. No. If you have an awareness of high probability, you've got red flags on a potential deal, you've got to address them What did you do to mitigate them? These end use and end user provisions and that full definition of knowledge, they've been around in the EAR for a very long time. So it's not going to be like, oh, wow, where did these come from? No, they've been there. We've seen them increasingly appear in guidance that's been coming out of BIS, especially around the knowledge element. If there was information that should have been provided before, it's better just to get ahead of that now, because it's going to come out at some point. The Department of Commerce wants to help U.S. companies do business. But also, look, we don't want to be taken for suckers and fools either. It's just a different ballgame. Look, we're in a boom. President Trump's new American AI action plan is a call to action and opportunities for these businesses. Don't be penny wise and pound foolish. We just got thrown a huge, big porterhouse steak. It's grabbed these opportunities.
Well, and Brent, the focus of Pillar 3 is to strengthen AI compute export control enforcement, in part by establishing, quote, a new effort led by the Department of Commerce to collaborate with intelligence community officials on global chip export control enforcement. And then a bit later down the bullet point, this enhanced monitoring could then be used to expand and increase end-use monitoring. Where? In countries where there is a high risk of diversion of advanced U.S. origin AI compute. So here's an express reference to end use. You're right to point out, Brent, the relevance of red flags and what you just said. Not only does this exact same section of the report talk about where there is a high risk of diversion, the government's view of what the actual end use was will rely upon the resources of the U.S. intelligence community, which likely have access to a bit more information than a lot of private companies might. It ups the game a little bit and ups the risk a little bit to ignoring red flags if you do come across them. You know, Brent, it might have been a bit overlooked given all the focus yesterday on the AI action plan's announcement, but there was also some movement in the Senate regarding the nominee for the assistant secretary position in charge of export enforcement. In particular, Brent, I think Senator Warren had some questions that she released publicly that she had asked to him, and his answers are illuminating as to the role that red flags are going to play potentially in forthcoming guidance and actions by the Commerce Department.
Yes, here's question number 4. Will you commit to conducting a review of BIS's red flag guidance to ensure that companies are not turning a blind eye on likely violations and reporting to this committee within 180 days? The answer provided is, export enforcement's red flag guidance is critical to our partnership with the private sector. If confirmed, I commit to working with my colleagues within BIS and this committee to ensure that we are providing clear red flag guidance to the private sector. This is the focus. This is where the juice is, these red flags. Going back to your point about the section in America's AI Action Plan on strengthening AI compute export control enforcement, they're going to be looking at this holistically as well. So this is information that's in red flags, what was known and knowable to the U.S. exporters, what was known and knowable to the people in their value chain. It's not going to be an issue of just counting the server racks. Let me just put it to you this way. In the old Soviet days, you had the Potemkin Village. The Soviet Union would take you on the tour of the Potemkin Village. You don't just take the guided tour and count the server racks. Nobody wants to be taken for a fool or a sucker here. All this information is going to have to be taken holistically. You got Commerce Department people and intelligence community people, very smart individuals in there. They're going to look at this holistically, and they got a lot more information. It's just a whole new ballgame, thinking that, you know, it's going to be like guys going out and counting the server racks. That's just not going to happen. Going back from my China business days and anecdotes from that great book, Mr. China, where it's just like, what do you expect? They're going to put server racks on. They're going to make it look like it's going to be real if it's actually a bogus entity. It's not looking at this very simplistically, but looking at it holistically. Companies can focus on the real business, on where they can get traction, not waste their time on areas that are true pitfalls, not just to compliance, but to the business. Why waste your time on it? There are certain perspectives of saying, well, you just send more inspectors out there. That's just not going to be effective.
Brent, another aspect of the AI action plan worth highlighting, we've already mentioned that the Secretary of Commerce in particular was thinking carefully about where to draw that line between soybeans and baby clothes on the one hand and WMD-capable weapons systems on the other. That's consistent with what's in the AI action plan in Pillar 3. There's a section on ensuring that the U.S. government is at the forefront of evaluating national security risks posed by AI frontier models. What they say there, Brent, is the most powerful AI systems may pose novel national security risks in the near future in areas such as cyber attacks and the development of chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, or explosive weapons, as well as novel security vulnerabilities. One way to step back and look at this entire policy, Brent, is that there's a deal here. America is going to invest heavily in reducing red tape, in building out the infrastructure to really run AI data centers and be successful AI companies, both established companies and startups here in the United States. But in exchange, we're not going to abandon core national security issues. Now, there may be a slight recalibration compared to prior administrations about exactly how the United States is going to evaluate those risks. The United States is going to get, through the act you mentioned that just passed Congress, assuming it gets signed by the president, a lot more information, and they're really going to bring the full capability of the U.S. intelligence community to bear. This is the president telling everyone this is a priority for him. So we expect people to want to be able to demonstrate to the president that they're responding to this directive with additional information sharing.
Nobody wants to be made to look like a fool or a sucker. If there's been less than full transparency in the past on certain things, look, now's the time to just clean that up and be able to move forward and leverage all the opportunities that America's AI Action Plan provides.
Brent, one of our prior NYU Fresh Looks pieces was about the whole new ballgame. It was striking to us at the update conference that BIS put on back in the spring of 2024, the emphasis on the importance of BIS's enforcement activity to the national security of the United States. There was a military color guard and a member of our armed services sang the national anthem to kick off that update event. Last night's event was maybe less of a military event, but to me, Brent, the event had an even greater emphasis on America and on America First. President Trump, in his remarks at the end of the event, mentioned America First a lot of times. One quote in particular that I wanted to get your reaction to, Brent, was when he said, "We need U.S. technology companies to be all in for America. We want you," speaking to the tech companies, "to put America first. You have to do it. That's all we ask." What's your reaction to that, Brent, about what that means in terms of the U.S. government's expectations and how the president and the White House see this action plan playing out?
Well, it means that not only is this smart business, not only is this smart compliance, but also export controls are a patriotic duty. This all goes to winning the AI race and maintaining America's technological and business lead across the world.
One of the things that the president focused on in his remarks about the failings of prior American policy was that it pushed would-be customers and would-be allies into the arms of adversaries. And he very much does not want that to happen here. There's an art to this deal here, Brent, right? This is a commitment by the United States to invest heavily in promoting innovation and providing anything that AI companies could possibly need or want in terms of infrastructure. It's happening at the same time the president is announcing a deal with Japan, for example, where they're agreeing to invest what I think is close to $600 billion into anything America wants in America, as what the president calls the signing bonus, including, for example, to build nuclear power plants with us to help power these data centers. If you look at the deals in the Middle East, it's all about power. It's all about capacity. It's creating the footprint of facilities and data centers in which the necessary compute can be possible.
The president also said that there now needs to be a new sense of patriotism within Silicon Valley. And we're starting to see that. That's part of the buzz around here. One of the things that makes America great is this sense of competition and stepping up to it. That is, in many ways, a core part of the American way. That's where it's going to be very important for companies going forward to show that they are all in on this. They are all in on all elements of the America's AI Action Plan, which includes all three pillars. You can't just pick and choose, I'm going to take this one or that one. No. You're going to get the benefits of pillar one and two, but you also have to play ball with pillar three. We're all going to help each other out on this. That's an important thing to keep in mind. The new public-private partnership is not a one-and-done thing. It is an ongoing relationship that's going to require work on both sides and communication on both sides to be effective. You don't want your own company to be embarrassed. You certainly do not want to embarrass the powers that be in the administration in all this. So it's important to play ball. That's the key messages here.
For sure, Brent. You get the sense not only from the president and his cabinet members who spoke, including the vice president, but also from people in the tech community. The president has been listening to concerns they have had about the cost of standing up new industries, new factories, new opportunities in the United States. I think now you're going to see the government say, okay, we've listened to you. We're going to deliver the incentives for innovation. We're going to deliver the infrastructure. Now it's on you to deliver the jobs, the growth, the productivity that we think this new technology is really going to drive across the entire country. The administration is putting it out there that it's heard industry concerns, it's heard industry requests, it's going to accommodate those, but there are rules of the game. The rules might be a little bit different than they were under the last administration, but there are still rules. It's important to pay attention to what the administration cares about and what they consider the national security risks to be. Well, Brent, in the spirit of the day, I guess this brings us to the all-in managing up segment. Brent, how are you all in today?
With new opportunities come new risks and responsibilities. To reap the rewards of America's AI action plan, companies need to play ball in an all-in way. What does this mean? It means full transparency with the U.S. government in this new public-private partnership. This means understanding and leveraging the high probability catch-all compliance and enforcement focus that we talked about in our recent World ECR article that's in the current edition. It means taking steps that we discussed in our episode on China AI and export controls facing a moment of truth. It means taking those steps now so you can take advantage of all the opportunities that America's AI action plan will bring.
Well said, Brent. That brings us to the end of the all-in episode of Red Flags Rising. Be well.
Thanks, Mike. Be well.